The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her band like no, Chew. No, no, Chewy. No.
What? Bad Chewy?
In staying with the theme, this sign that you just sent us in our group text has a picture of a dog in that, like, hunched over, you know, shoulders up pose, clearly about to do some duty. And it says, keep off grass. I don't use your yard as a restroom. Please don't let your pets use mine as one. No pooping or peeing. That feels aggressive, doesn't it, Joshy? That feels aggressive.
Yeah. I might seek that one out for my dog to poop on if I see that sign.
Spite.
Yeah.
Spite. That don't go that route.
So, well, they're all like there's ones with a dog, you know, with the circle and the slash through it that just says no poop and pee. Be respectful.
Does the sign need to say poop and pee? Does it need to be that implicit? Or just having a Ghostbuster sign with the dog behind it gets the point across?
I think the commentary is where you go wrong. The commentary is where I start doing spite.
I think it's too soft, he said.
Oh, I know.
Just the no dogs is too soft. So you need to really get it in there. You really need to drive it home.
See, I don't mind. I don't mind them, like you said, Joshy, how you do it. Owners' feet are on the road and the dog's pooping, right? But I'm telling you, these people literally come 20 feet up into a person's lawn and let. That's what I'm trying to avoid. And I don't know how to articulate that in a sign. I don't know if I'm on board with the pesticides thing, because we're in a period down here now where they do not. Like, you cannot find fertilizer at Home Depot or any of those stores in our county because of red tide. They feel that red tide is caused by people's fertilizer during hot months.
You'd be a social outcast.
Let me see if I understand.
Which I don't have a problem with.
You're not really using the pesticides. You're only putting the sign up so that people think you're using the pesticides, but people thinking you're using the pesticides would ostracize you from the people in the neighborhood because you're not supposed to be using the pesticides. Did I follow that correctly?
You nailed it.
Wow.
That so that's why I went with that sign.
Way more complicated than I anticipated, because I thought the pesticides was a great workaround. I thought you were like, oh, it's for the safety of your animal that we don't want them on the yard. We're both in it together, preserving your animal. But now you're telling me that you're worried about the animals that you live around coming after you for using pesticides.
What about just a simple, please stay off the lawn? Like, there's got to be one of those.
Two.
I'm down with that.
Because I think
I'm down with that.
I think in that situation, if I'm walking the dog along the side of the road and it veers into your grass, I'll try and get him back. But it makes it clear, like, hey, please don't just walk into my yard. Because I've never seen people do the walk into the yard. I don't doubt at all that that happens, because I've seen it before. Certainly, where it's like you're basically in that person's like front porch. What are you doing up there? But for the most part, it seems to stay off the lawn would send the hint.
I can tell you this, and it's probably by region, a lot of East Coasters here, a lot of New York, a lot of Massachusetts. I think Midwest people, and it's generally thought of as Midwest people, are very nice. So my guess would be the people walking halfway up into the lawn are from the East Coast, which I'll go East Coast on their ass if they want me to.
Isn't that what got you?
Because I have that in me. You guys know I have that in me.
Yes, yes, yes.
I will chase you down.
Now, one of the things that we wanted to also dovetail into this was the experience that I had this weekend, because we all kind of felt like there was a selfishness on display from human beings. We went down to the Fever Sky game down at Wintrust Arena in Chicago. Got to be honest, if I had known where Wintrust Arena was, we would not have gone. I didn't realize it was on the south side of the city. Woo, doggy. Traffic, 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 traffic. We drove back into Wisconsin at around 7:30 last night, and I was like, kissing the ground we were driving on, the traffic in Milwaukee compared to the traffic in Chicago, but I digress. We stopped at a gas station. One of the little ones had to use the bathroom. We needed to fill up, wanted to grab some snackies. And we pull into the Pilot, and every single gas stall is occupied. That happens. You know, it's a Sunday. People are out doing their Sunday driving. But as you get a little closer to the pumps, you realize that a few of the cars are not pumping. There is no pumping, no active pumping going on when we pull up. And we are waiting to actually put gas in our car. So we try to pull behind a vehicle that has wrapped up. There is no nozzle connecting the tank to the truck. And we think, oh, this person will be moving anytime now. But they didn't. They didn't move. And so when we finally slid over to a different stall because they, you know, got out before the person we thought was going to get out, we look over and Chewy, they're sitting there housing McDonald's at the gas pump. There is no gas being transferred from pump to truck, from tank to truck. And as I walk into the gas station, there are nine, count them, nine empty gas stall, or I'm sorry, parking stalls, parking spots in front of the gas station. Do you not have an obligation to vacate the pump as soon as you are done pumping gas? Am I overreacting to this?
No, not one bit, not one bit. But then you asked the question in the production meeting, or I did. I'm like, do they care? Or are they doing this on purpose? I believe people do it on purpose. I really do. And these people, to me, sounds like they're one of those people. So then what happened, Jen? This is great.
So again, I want to defer to obliviousness. I don't want to assume that people are doing this stuff maliciously. I want to just assume they're oblivious. I actually don't know which is worse, like existing in a society.
What's the saying? Don't attribute to malice what can be explained away by incompetence.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great saying. I'll get that on a hat. I'll put that on a shirt. So now I'm walking from where we have now parked to pump the gas to the front, and I'm acting as though I am explaining it to my 15-year-old, but really I'm speaking at a volume so that the people who are housing their McDonald's at the pump can hear me. And I said, I don't understand. You're not pumping gas, and there's all these parking spots up here. And I'm waving and wildly gesturing at the open parking spots, and the guy leans his head out the window and goes, do we have a problem? And I just turned around and walked inside. I didn't need to have a problem or an altercation or a conflict yesterday. I just needed them to know that they were being obtuse, that they were being ignorant to the social situation that they were a part of, which is there are only so many pumps. You can only get gas at the pumps. You can eat your McDonald's anywhere else. I was frustrated. It was
Of course, his response would lead me to believe that he knew what he was doing and he was being a beehole.
I don't know. Sometimes
I would have barked back at him. I cannot stand people like that. It's like when we're on the airplane, right? And there's a protocol or an etiquette to getting off the airplane. And you get the guy that's not wearing the shoes, Jen, that you took a picture the other day just doesn't follow protocol. I will lip off to him. I've had it.
What would you have said?
I will say something.
What would you have said to the shoeless guy on my flight?
I would have said, nice etiquette, moron. I love moron. You know?
Can you just say moron and then
accept it? Yeah.
The one
and then I wish he said, you have a problem? I'd say, yeah, I have a problem.
Actually,
I've got a problem with you.
I think, yeah. Jen, if you're going to do the gesturing and the make it obvious you're unhappy, I think you have to respond in that moment because
Got my point across.
That behavior to me is someone looking for a confrontation.
I already got my point across.
Yes.
I already got the point across, which was you're sitting at the pump eating your McDonald's. So I said it loud enough so you could hear me because he had his window rolled down. I gestured wildly at all of the spaces. Nine empty parking spaces in front of the gas station. Pull your truck up and park here while you eat your McDonald's.
Yeah, to me that seems like if you're going to
passive aggressive.
Yeah, if you're offered the opportunity to comment, then I think you have to.
But him saying, "Do we have a problem?" was passive aggressive as well, because clearly I had a problem.
Sure was. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, his response should have been, "I'm sorry." Rough night, I'll move out of the way. That should have been the response. But the fact that when he responded the way he did, he was doing it intentionally.
James weighing in saying that guy would have never stuck his head out the window once he saw the mammoth of a man. Yes, I wish Chewy had been with me. Chewy, if you had been there. He does say, oh, sorry, Mr. Chimura. I'll move my truck. Sorry, I didn't realize we were taking up a spot. But to me, that was just like the ignorance of the social scene, Joshy. It was, there are only so many pumps. Everybody's pulling in. It's one of those right off the highway ones. People are, you know, you're trying to get to where you're going. You don't want to sit there behind. I don't have all day to wait for you to vacate the pump while you finish your fries.
It's probably not a healthy.
How old was?
It's probably not a healthy way to operate. But I'm pretty much constantly in a who am I inconveniencing or bothering state, and it's not like I'm panicked about
it. Paranoid.
But when I'm around and in public, it's like, who would this bother? If I was the other person, would I be the bleep hole? So for me, I'm often thinking, like, I got to get out of here and get moving. I realize there's a bunch of, like, plenty of these gas stations you go to, especially if you go to, like, the more popular ones off the highway. There's people in and out. So I'm not even, like, I'll skip the windshield wipe with the fluid there if I know there's three cars waiting to pump gas.
Yes.
Because I'm like, if this were me, this is how I would like to be treated. It's the old golden rule. And it seems like a lot of people just ignore that rule later in life.
In a shocking development, we do have one more example of that from this weekend that Joshy wants to get to. I'll hold on to it for a little
There's
bit later
three.
In the show. But we do have the rule of three, the law of threes happening on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning with the interactions we all had this weekend. Alan in the 414 weighing in saying, fix for gas pump guy, double park them in. Now they have a life lesson. Don't want to get parked in? Move your car. Okay, the only issue there is I only had one vehicle, so I could have parked on the back side of him, but he could have got out on the front. Could have parked on the front side out of him, but he could have got out on the back. Didn't have two cars to go ahead and do the old parking him in. Plus, we wanted to get gas, right? Like, we needed to get gas. We were running inside to grab some snacks. The girls had to use the bathrooms, and so... yes, it was. Yes, that's what happened. You guys are so right. It's about being aware of your surroundings. We stress this to our kids all the time when they have their phones in their faces. That from Augie from Fredonia. 800-990-3776 if you want to weigh in on the gas pump situation we encountered this weekend or just human selfishness in general. Have you tried Celsius Energy Drink yet? Let me tell you all about it. It's the clean energy drink that you need, that I need to stay active and energized all day long. As you know, I'm a big fan of the peach vibe. In fact, when we were at the grocery store yesterday, I sent my son to go find me some peach vibe in the bin of Celsius that they had. But when we can't find it, I've been enjoying a tropical vibe as well. If you haven't tried the tropical vibe, you absolutely should. It's like a peach vibe cousin, so very, very similar. And of course, it's what gets me through college football season in the fall. You can find it at Pick and Save or online at Amazon.com. Stay active and energized all day long with Celsius Essential Energy Drinks.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Here, you can just save yourself so much time by going, okay, we like this guy, this guy, this guy. Let's take a look at all the different things he did at the combine. I just hit my phone and now my hand is just tingling.
What is with you two today? Jesus. Do you know how to function?
I just like...
On 94.5 ESPN.
Tune in to Thanalysis Show every week. Bucks player Thanasis Antetokounmpo sits down with special guests to have fun and honest conversations. Conversations with NBA stars Damian Lillard and Donovan Mitchell, basketball media royalty Jay Williams, and more big-name guests are already up as part of Season 2 of Thanalysis. Find Thanalysis Show today on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere else you get your podcasts, and subscribe to the Thanalysis Show YouTube channel for accompanying videos and special content.
Speaking of those Milwaukee Bucks, they are in the news, maybe not for reasons you might expect, or maybe for reasons you might expect. Basically, changes. Bucks got to make some changes. What they trotted out this past year didn't work. Doc Rivers seems to understand that. Doc Rivers is interested in making moves, interested in making changes. I guess the next inevitable question is, though, guys, what sort of changes? I hear people say over and over again, this Bucks team has to get younger. They have to get more athletic. They have to do that in order to be able to compete with some of the younger, more athletic teams in the East, to say nothing of the teams in the West, if they get that far. I guess I just don't know, Joshy, what they are supposed to do. I don't know. There's no, like, one move out there that I feel like transcends the Bucks from where they are to where they want to be. Am I missing something in, like, the tapestry of the NBA right now that is, like, this is the obvious thing that the Bucks have to do in order to get where they want to be, which is, of course, competing for NBA championships?
I think the big thing, and Chewy's mentioned it before, is getting more athletic. The Bucks were old and slow was the criticism of them. I think they want to get more multiple with the type of role players around them. I don't know what you can get for Brook Lopez or Pat Connaughton. I don't think it means Chris is on the move, even though in Brian Windhorst's report, his name was not mentioned as necessarily safe. I don't know what that all means. To me, it just means that Doc Rivers and John Horst are looking around at the roster going, this probably isn't sustainable, and this needs to improve to a certain degree, because at times you could see the Bucks be old and slow and rather limited with some of the role players that surrounded them. I don't know the guys who are being rumored. I'm not a trade machine guy. Maybe Gabe would be more equipped to actually get the fine details. But to me, it's you want speed and you want youth, and you just want guys who are less one-sided in terms of their game.
So, Chu, just to give you the background on what was reported, ESPN's Brian Windhorst said that Doc Rivers is looking to make changes to the core pieces of the roster. Not Dame or Giannis, but potentially looking at another maneuver that they could make to alter their team. Yeah, duh. I mean, yes, obviously. What I'm saying is, Chu, when you look at this Bucks team, what is that? Is that dealing Brook Lopez? Is that moving Chris Middleton? Like, what are you going to do? Yes, 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 and yes, and yes. No, what are the things that, priority-wise, that you want to see this team do?
Lopez. I mean, we all know Lopez is a liability defensively, right? Great offensive player, good shot blocker, but when they pull him out, he can't play. He just can't do it. So, yes, move on from him, get younger. I don't know, like Joshy said, I'm not sure who that is. Okay, they need a Pat Beverly. Pat Beverly's fine, but he's old, right? He got hurt. They need that because Dame is not known for his defense. They need that defender. Who that is, I have no idea. And then Pat Connaughton, if you're going to be a three-point shooter, make threes. Make threes. There's got to be something. Yeah, they have to get younger. And I agree, the untouchables are Giannis and Dame. Obviously, you can't make all those moves. Bobby Portis, you got to be better. You have to be better, okay? Because if you look at all these young teams, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, they're young. Doesn't Oklahoma City have a ton of first-round draft picks?
I'm not sure.
I mean,
sure.
I know these are teams in the West, but... I mean, obviously you can't make all these moves, but they have to get younger and get rid of the liabilities because coaches and players in the NBA are not stupid.
Yeah, and I guess I have no idea what is a realistic target for the Bucks and one that they could get with the assets that they have. I think that's where what the situation the Bucks find themselves in right now is very interesting. You know, the Caruso trade happens a few days ago, and most people looked at that and thought, well, that's a win for OKC, isn't it? Like, Caruso, he's going to be able to still contribute. I just don't know as much about the player they got. What was his name? Josh Giddey. I saw him in the news for other reasons recently, which apparently are not a thing. Apparently not a thing. I want to make sure we cover that. That was not a thing. We investigated, and then it was not a thing. But I just don't know what we're looking for. If we're expecting it to be one guy, or if we're thinking that it's going to be multiple pieces that the Bucks are going to need to add that hopefully elevate this team to the Eastern Conference Finals, to the championship level that we have come to expect from Giannis and company. To me, it feels, and this is the way that I'm feeling right now, it feels insurmountable. It feels like they are facing an uphill battle. Joshy, am I often thinking that? Is there like a snap of a fingers that is going to happen that is going to instantly improve this Bucks team while also not being a liability? Again, going back to the Jrue Holiday thing. They had to trade away an asset to get Dame Lillard. We understand that. Jrue Holiday was fantastic in his role at times for the Bucks. Got traded, got moved, won a championship. I don't want to see somebody the Bucks again deal to try to get better, go out and end up grabbing a ring with another team. Like, that would be salt in the wound.
Yeah, I mean, anything short of moving a Chris Middleton in some sort of package deal, I don't know if the move would be like a big enough thing where everyone goes, wow, this team totally improved across the board in a way that you, I mean, people assumed was the move happening with Dame Lillard and Drew Holiday. To me, I thought that there was a real potential they were going to, the Bucks were going to just run it back in terms of the roster, just because they had so much turnover with moving Drew Holiday with the coaching two times. But it seems like they are not content. Now, I think John Horst has earned the right for us to see what happens. Some of the moves might not feel like sexy and earth-shattering, but if a Brooke and Pat are both moved, maybe the pieces aren't names everyone recognizes, household names, but maybe they're guys that make a big enough difference on the team to help the two superstars that we know are kind of we've hitched our wagon to.
Right.
We've got no option.
Chewy, would you trade Chris Middleton? You've thrown out a lot of names, right? You've thrown out the Pat Connaughtons. You've thrown out Bobby Portis. We obviously talked about Lopez as well. But Chris Middleton, one of the things we always talk about here in Milwaukee is how he appears to be underrated by most people in the NBA. But you would think that any GM worth his salt, worth his weight, would know what a valuable asset and piece Chris Middleton is. Is this an opportunity for the Bucks to sell high on Chris Middleton to a savvy GM and maybe get pieces back? Because even though there are fans who don't recognize Chris Middleton's value, I think across the board, most people who are interwoven into the tapestry of the NBA know that he is, you know, solid from a two-way standpoint. So is he a guy who the Bucks might actually have to try to trade because he would bring the most value back?
I would not trade Chris Middleton, but I think it's more on Doc. He's got to figure out how these guys need to play together. Because this past year, it just seemed like Dame and Giannis were in the game. Chris Middleton sits on his hands, right? The only time it seemed this last year when they really needed Chris Middleton is when one of the other guys were hurt. They have to find that balance, and a year playing together will help. But I would not get rid of Chris. Brook Lopez I'd get rid of. I'd look to upgrade Connaughton, and then Bobby Portis, you have a heart-to-heart. Say, dude, we need more out of you. I don't know what that is, but I was going to ask you guys this. As it stands right now, where would you guys put the Bucks in the East as it comes to their roster? They're not better than the Celtics, right? You know Philly's, and I'm saying right now, but you know Philly's going to make a move to get a stud. I believe they will. Is Indiana's roster right now better than the Bucks? Are they fourth?
I mean, they're certainly younger, and they're certainly more explosive. You know, just the way that offense was constructed, they were shooting the lights out, outshooting most teams this year. I don't know. Gabe is pretty convinced and pretty adamant that the Bucks would have won that series if Giannis was in. So
how long would it have went, though?
Giannis tips the scales to the Bucks.
Yeah. Gabe's on a roll of being wrong, though. I'm sorry.
Make sure we tell him.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying.
I'm keeping that one.
Gabe said 2 years ago that they were going to work Miami. What happened? They got worked. This year, he says, even without Giannis, they're beating Indiana. Didn't happen. I love beating up on guys when they're not here.
Yeah, and again, we'll make sure we bring this up tomorrow.
No one rat me out. Hey, don't rat me out.
Oh, we would never.
But he's been wrong. Has he been wrong?
Yeah,
Gabe will probably say that with Giannis, the Bucks are probably hand-in-hand with the Celtics, which they are not.
I'm going to do my best to defend somebody who can't defend themselves. I think most people have been wrong about the Bucks the past two seasons.
Okay, but we all agree you cannot run it back, right? And even these most recent comments from Doc Rivers would indicate he knows they can't run it back. They have to tweak the quote-unquote core. If we use our deductive reasoning, the core is who? If the five starters? Is that who we're going to say the core is? Not even.
Nope.
You're saying the three, the big three.
Yeah. Yep.
So that would be Middleton. If you're changing the core, you're not changing Giannis, you're not changing Dame, that means that Middleton, this to me feels like it might be dropping some breadcrumbs that he is considering trading away Chris Middleton. Again, recognizing his value. I understand that it's hard for fans to wrap their brains around trading a guy they really like or has been critical to the team's success in recent years, and no one is saying that Chris Middleton has not. We think he has been. But isn't he the most valuable piece right now?
Yes.
I think he has what could be determined as the most actual value. I don't know how much his injury history and his lack of ability to, you know, kind of take on the full amount of an NBA season at this point. He certainly holds more value than Brook or Bobby Portis, but I do think both of those guys, Brook has the expiring contract, which some people find value in their team building or rebuilding. To me, I think the best situation for the Bucks is both moving on from both Brook and Bobby, as much as that hurts to say. Two guys that are loved.
Was this a bold statement by Doc, though? I mean, do we really think he has that power? I mean, who do you guys think has more power, LaFleur or Doc Rivers?
Doc, maybe?
I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, that was kind of a bold statement by Doc, because John Horst
is the GM.
He's a great GM, I think. Kind of runs the show.
Yeah, so I mean, his comments are that Doc Rivers is looking for a change or two to some of their core pieces. Now, I don't know if Doc was a stand-in for the Bucks and John Horst, or if this is Doc himself. Like, I don't know how much he has team. I know Matt LaFleur has almost none.
I also think that we need to recognize that the money that Chris Middleton is getting would make it challenging to trade. Teams are not necessarily willing to take on that money. I think I saw it was in the $31-32 million range next season, $34 the following season. And so I don't know that there are teams that want to take that on, which is why then people go to, well, Brook Lopez and Bobby Portis then. Again, first it's identifying the core. I think those are probably the five players who are the core of this team. I know, Chu, you wanted to narrow it to just the three. But if Doc is saying they're not getting rid of Giannis and they're not getting rid of Dame, duh, obviously, then it's just Chris and Bobby and Brooke. So of those three, who do you think is most likely to be traded if the Bucks do decide to go that route? We're going to put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. And this is off of Doc Rivers making the comments about changes that he expects there to be for the Milwaukee Bucks. Of the three, Chu, if I had to ask you right now, of the three, who do you think is traded?
Brooke. That's the easy one, right? I mean, because we know his flaws. And they can't win with those flaws. He's going to be in that five.
No, I just think he's been so valuable. And particularly when Giannis hasn't been on the floor, you know, giving them that paint presence has been huge. I know, again, defensive liability. I understand it. Limited athletically in defense. Brooke is a guy I could see going to another team and winning a ring. It's just...
Why? Who do you think the guy is? Chris?
I'm guessing Bobby. And again, that would be another one that would be tough to wrap my arms around.
I think. Yeah, but how much are you getting for Bobby?
He is only making $12.7 million next season. So it feels like the Bucks would want to hold on to that, right? He's sort of making less money than he probably should be. And so if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, don't you want to kind of keep those guys on the roster as well? You know, if you're being underpaid for your contributions. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I just mean, like, you take a look at the market.
Yeah.
You want to hold on to those guys, right? It's like your Brock Purdy situation.
What's Brook? High teens?
$23 million deal expiring.
Okay.
800-990-3776. We're putting it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Again, Doc Rivers brought it up, said that the Bucks are looking to make change. We knew that there would be changes, but I don't know if it helps to have the head coach saying, yep, this is actually what we're doing. Inevitability, who do you think would be gone? Chris Middleton, Brook Lopez, or Bobby Portis? Let us know, 800-990-3776. We got to take a break. We roll on after this. But you guys have heard me talk about Professional Construction Inc. over the years. We have certainly enjoyed having them help us with our home projects. We're not the most handy people. We can handle some things. But for the things we cannot handle, PCI is here for us. They have a website. It's professionalconstructioninc.com. On that website, you can see jobs that they have done. Heck, you might even see the basement that they finished for us at our home in Mequon. The PCI team is here for us, and they can be here for you. Just go to their website, professionalconstructioninc.com, to see what they can do, what they have done, and talk to them about working on your next remodeling project at your home.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Let's think about this. Could you do 50 straight days of burgers?
That was very condescending.
Let's put our heads together.
Again, I have children. I know condescending when I hear it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Anybody who was going to the Dave Matthews Band concert this weekend at Alpine Valley, that show was postponed due to severe weather. Had a lot of pals, a lot of family members who were down there in that area. And of course, you had to cancel the show. The weather that rolled through produced six tornadoes. Six tornadoes confirmed across Wisconsin. Dane, Jefferson, Rock, Grant, and Walworth counties all affected. We obviously hope for the best for everybody whose homes were damaged in the storm, who had tornadoes rip through their area. That is a scary thing. Like, tornadoes are no joke. No. My little girls, who were watching the weather alerts as we were watching, I believe, the men's college World Series baseball game, they were nervous. They said, do we need to go to the basement? Do we need to start grabbing their stuffies and grabbing their blankets and stuff like that? I said, we're good. We live in Ozaukee County. But if they say Ozaukee County, then we will go to the basement. You know, just kind of trying to ease their concerns, ease their fears. Joshy, from what I hear, though, not everyone handled it as gracefully as we did in our household when those weather alerts were rolling across their televisions.
No, not at all. The Milwaukee Brewers were on Fox 6. They had their broadcast of the game interrupted by severe weather alerts. Now, if you know, many of the counties affected by the tornadoes that you just listed also were receiving those updates via Fox 6 with the radar and all the important news happening. Now, people complaining about their broadcast being affected by severe weather alerts is nothing new. What does make this one unique is the fact that there were six different
real
tornadoes that affected people
legitimate
in southeastern Wisconsin.
Not the fake kind.
No. And what ended up happening was dozens and dozens and dozens of people on social media took to social media to tell Fox 6 how unhappy they were with the location of the radar because it was covering the score bug and the amount of cut-ins and the size of the broadcast when they were doing it. Now, Fox 6 has said we are seeing if we can move that score bug, move the radar so it's not covering it. My one takeaway was how selfish and inconsiderate do you have to be to not realize that the tornado warnings and the severe weather alerts are monumentally more important than baseball game 78 of a 162 season. If you want to see the score, the pitches, the count, the outs, you can pull it up on your phone. You can still do that. But it amazes me how little people stop to think about anyone other than themselves. Other than you sitting in front of your TV watching the game. There are people whose lives are affected and changed drastically forever because of the events of Saturday, of the weekend. Because of those events, those people lost homes, they lost pets, they lost things extremely valuable to them that they'll likely never, ever be able to get back. If you can't stop for a second and go, yeah, this kind of stinks, it's not the best situation, you could probably do it better. But if you can't stop and think, maybe this isn't worth my time or effort, because somebody right down the road, somebody in a different county that neighbors yours, their house is gone, their church is gone. The thing they used to earn money, the company they work for, the business they own, is now total loss because of it. It just blows my mind that even after, you still can't think, maybe this is something I should stop doing.
Is the theme of all three of our stories the exact same?
Yes.
Sort of feels
people,
like it.
All they care about is themselves.
Well, let me tell you what Kevin said on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text line. Kevin in the 920 said, and this is very eloquent, so stay with me. Bleep hole's gonna bleep hole, Jen.
Yeah.
Kind of feels like we're on a bleep hole morning here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, right? I mean, like the bleep hole at the gas station, the bleep hole with the dog, which you happen to be related to, so it's a little tricky. It's trickier in
calls
that,
coming
in that
from
instance.
Inside the house.
It's trickier in that instance, but also the bleep holes who complained this weekend about the severe weather alerts on their television blocking the score. Hey, were you watching the game? You should have a general idea of how it's been shaken out, right? If you're telling me you've been watching the game and all of a sudden the severe weather alerts pop up and that little radar that is showing the red rolling through your area is covering the score and you have no idea what has been happening, you have no idea what the score could be, you might not be as big a sports fan as you think you are. Right?
Yeah. No, you're 1,000% right. But do you catch yourself ever like in a situation like that where you're like, you know what? No one else in this world gives a crap, so why should I? I can't get myself to that point. You know?
Can't get yourself to the point of caring about the severe weather or caring about covering the
score. No, where I'm in a situation like that, Jen, I'm at the gas pump. Ah, screw the person behind me. I'm just going to finish my Chick-fil-A right here, and I don't care how long it takes.
Wait, you're saying you are that person?
No, I have the little devil on my shoulder, and I have the angel, the devil saying, hey, screw them. It's all about you. And the angel's going, be nice.
And just out of curiosity, who usually wins that debate?
The angel.
Oh, okay. Good Catholic boy.
No, it does. I'm just like, but it does creep into my mind where it never used to.
I think we all have the impulse. I've thought the same thing when watching whatever sporting event, and especially when it's like in the winter. If it's affecting stuff, it's like, okay, there's a lot of snow. Like, I get it. I do think when it elevates to, I mean, Chewy, you deal with hurricanes down there in the south. When it elevates to tornadoes here, I do think there has to be a self-realization at some point that this is bigger and this is more important than the thing I'm doing or watching right now.
Totally agree.
800-990-3776, reacting to the severe weather alerts covering up the score of the Brewers game this weekend and people getting very, very angry, getting all in their feelings over it. People even calling news stations, emailing news stations, tweeting at news stations to get rid of it, that it was affecting their evening. Let's go out to John in Menasha. He's been waiting patiently on the line. John, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. Your thoughts on the weather alert that caused all this drama?
I was one of those people who thought I was more important than all the people at their different cities because we were watching the Olympic trials and Channel 4 loved to show the radar, and then they were showing their storm chaser. So I'm watching raindrops on a gray TV screen as their truck drives through a neighborhood. And I know they told me it's the weather, National Weather Service, so they have to do it. They're held to that thing. But you know what? That's why we have sirens outside to let those people in those areas know. And how do they know that those people are watching their TV broadcast? They probably aren't. I'm just saying, I understand the warnings, but I don't need to watch an hour long of watching your radar because look at how the colors direct and go off and do all the. I don't need that. Tell me it's raining. Be on alert. If I hear a siren, go into the basement.
So
that's it.
John,
I don't need it for an hour and a half.
John, do you regret at all your call in?
No, not at all. So, and I wish I could have gotten to someone more powerful to help me in my plight.
Okay, yes, the first thing is it is by law you are required to do that on your broadcast. We have things here where you are required to cut into broadcasting as well. I also just want to say, like, not every community has a functioning tornado alarm. So if you aren't listening to that, if you can't hear it for whatever reason, things do malfunction, things do go wrong. That's the reason we get updates on our phone when stuff like that happens. What is happening is, for the greater good, all people are sort of trying to pull the rope in the same direction here. We're trying to alert all the people who, for whatever reason, maybe their TV's too loud and they can't hear the siren. Maybe they're too far away from it. Maybe they don't have a cell phone. The point of it is to reach everybody at every single point of contact that, hey, you are in danger, your family and your well-being is in danger.
Or even potential danger. Like, correct. We have no concern about just potential danger. Maybe it's not imminent,
right,
but it's potential. You know, for example, my mom was headed to the Dave Matthews Band concert. Didn't know Secret Squirreled the way her way through that thing. But all of a sudden, we're looking at the Find My going, why is mom in Elkhorn? What's yes. mom doing in Elkhorn? And so my sister and I, who are watching and seeing all of the alerts pop over our televisions, no matter what station we were on, call my mom and say, hey, I don't know if you've looked up at the sky. It's probably getting pretty dark and gory there, but there's a severe weather alert. There's a tornado warning headed your direction. And she said, oh, you know, thanks for letting me know. Not that she didn't know, but also it's not just, maybe it doesn't affect me, but there are people who are in that space that now I am alerting to. Maybe they didn't have the television on. Maybe their phones haven't gone off. But it's just trying to, as Joshy said, get to as many people as possible so that you can be, look, with those type of storms and the way they roll through, if you wait until the last moment, you're donezo.
Too late.
Exactly. It's too late. If all of a sudden you're waiting for, you know, the eerie silence and then that sound that these tornadoes make, it's not going to be good. So again, I appreciate the warnings. I will also tell you this, guys. I've done too many stories. We could fill a bingo card blackout of stories that I have told in my time at ESPN and in my time at Fox 6 of tragedies that have occurred. Would it shock you to know that I do know and have done a story on people who have lost loved ones in a tornado? Would that shock you to learn I did a story last year on a college football player at Clemson whose mom and grandfather and grandmother all died in a tornado?
Nope.
Yeah. So once you have that experience on your plate, you don't sit there and fret over.
Yeah.
You don't fret over, oh man, what was the score of the Brewers game the last time I walked past and checked it?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I could use this handy little computer I have in my pocket to find out the score, since it is so inconveniently being covered by the severe weather alert. 800-990-3776. We're Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We'll take a break. We'll be right back after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So you mentioned Super Bowls and parties and how they don't go hand in hand, which again is an absurd comment by you two, but it's just one of many on the show.
Dumber thing that Chewy has said this morning. Super Bowls and parties don't go hand in hand, or cheddar is not a top 10 cheese.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Let's go back to the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. We put a few things on there this morning. Which of these three do you think the Milwaukee Bucks are most likely to trade this offseason? Lopez, Portis, or Middleton? 48% of people saying Brooke Lopez. Get your votes in there if you have not already. Do you agree with Greg Cassell when he said Jordan Love is a top three or four quarterback in terms of physical traits? 63% of people saying yes, they do. And do you believe in the rule of threes? 63% of people also saying yes, the rule of threes is real. Will the Intouch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Gabe will be back with us tomorrow.